Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, welcome to each one of you, and praise God that somewhere along the line your heart is stirred to come and hear a word, come and just fellowship with people of like mind and like heart. And pray that you would receive something from my message today. I'm always honored that Pastor Henry gives me the opportunity to speak every so often. So today, in a few hours, we're going to be able to go home and experience Super Bowl. Now, I would almost bet that there's some of you here that say, who cares? Yeah. Yeah, see, there you go. Who cares? Yeah, every Sunday's a Super Bowl, right? But anyway, Super Bowl is a family affair. It's a time for people, you know, relatives, friends, whatever it may be. It's a time to just gather and, you know, put your steaks out there or hot dogs if you can't afford a steak. But it's a time for people to come together and just have a good, joyful time. And even in the strongest of families, when you have large family gatherings such as this, Super Bowl, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever these times come that families get together like that, there's always someone, or it can be, I can't say always, someone that doesn't want to be around someone. I think we've all experienced that. Even in the strongest families, we have, people that just sometimes don't quite fit with 99% of the people. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? My message today is on unity. And I titled it, The Strength of One. And when many are truly united, we become a strong entity of one. And whether it's those in our church or our home, we call it family. Now, some of us don't have the pleasure, if you'd call it, of being close or living close to our kids or brothers and sisters or whatever. So, that's just life. You know, some have moved here from different parts of the country, and others have moved from here to other parts of the country. And, God takes us in different directions. And so our closest relatives may not always be right next door to us. So what happens is that this becomes your family. A church body, sometimes we spend more time with our friends and brothers and sisters in our church than we do even around our own relatives. And so there comes that place for relationship. And that's what we're hoping that this becomes, you know. This is our church family. And so, you know, what happens to church families? Just like your home families, you go through your ups and downs, and there's that someone doesn't feel comfortable around. But guess what? That's okay. So whether it's also in our church or our home, we call it family. And it's important to be with family. And when I was looking at this, you look at Jesus and his life. Jesus was a man that loved to be around people. He was always, not only because of his ministry, but just, he liked to party. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. His first miracle was at a wedding party, and he turns water into wine. Not Jesus. But that was who he was. You know, he liked being around people. And to think about this, sometimes we think that we better not attend some gatherings because there might be some wine. Well, sometimes that's when you're called on. You are to be a light at those times. You are to be that one that people can look at and say, why is he different? Why isn't he out there rolling on the ground, you know, like the rest of us? What? So sometimes, just as Jesus was at that wedding party, you're called upon to shine. And so be prepared. Don't be a part of what's not right. Be a part of what is right. Be a shine, shine for Jesus. I'm going to read out of Ephesians 4. And here Paul addresses the subject of unity and maturity in the body of Christ. Now, most of us consider ourselves mature in Christ. And yet, we still build walls over doctrine or the style of music. That's just too loud. Or, you know, that's not the right people to take music from. Whatever it is, things that should bring us together still divide us. Each one of us is uniquely created by the very hand of God. And the way we express ourselves can sometimes be misunderstood by others. To truly see each other is to look for the Spirit of Jesus in each of us. If you look at me with your natural eyes, you will find flaws. You will compare me to others. I look at our pastor, and he just has this air about him that he just excites people. I admire his demeanor, the way he preaches. I admire who he is. And then I look at me, and I got to walk around with a box of tissues. We're different. We're different of who we are. But, you know, God made him the way he is, and he can express himself in a certain way that I can't. But then there's something in me that only comes from me. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, are you ever going to let me talk, or am I going to keep crying? But I'm good with that. I'm good with whatever God's done with me. And trust me, I know we all... We talk about my tears, but I wasn't always like this. When I was a younger man, I had some hard shells around me, and nothing made me cry. But when I said, yes, Lord, this is who I am. This is who created me to be from the beginning. And the things of the world hardened me. The things of the world made me into somebody that I really wasn't meant to be. And when I allowed him to take my life over, it's okay that he tendered my heart. And now people's lives make a difference to me. While before, hey, if I can take advantage of you, give me a chance here, I will. That's not me anymore. So thank you, Lord. So I ask you, look at me with your spiritual eyes, and then you will see Jesus in me. And in Him, there are no flaws. So let's go now to Ephesians, and I'm going to go with 4, starting with 4:1. And it says, Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, as we'll see in later verses, he talks about the fivefold ministry. You know, that's what this whole reference is for, is that he's called certain people to lead our church and equip our congregations. But then I bring this to you, each one of you sitting in this building has a call. It may not be that fivefold ministry, but you have a call. You are called to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever capacity, in whatever function that He has placed you in, you were called to be that light that shines for Jesus Christ. And so never demean that maybe you're taking care of the babies back there. Never demean that maybe you had to clean the church this day. Whatever it is that you're doing, as the word says, do it unto the Lord. And so as we look at this, whatever your place is, then just do it as unto the Lord. And here, Paul is addressing a church body. But I also want us to apply this to our home. Were you called to be a father? Were you called to be a mother? Were you called to be a school teacher? Or even a caretaker? Those calls are just as important as anything that would be involved in the fivefold ministry. Anything that God has placed you in and that he will equip you to be that strong person. And we go on here, it's on verse 2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. And here again, not only should you apply this to a church body, think about this at your home, and that Paul is telling you to apply this for your children, for your spouse, whomever you deal with. And it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. And when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, in all. Now, what this part of the scripture boils down to is that he's telling us to focus our eyes on God. And as you're focusing our eyes on God, we unite ourselves with who He is. And it's not about us. All those things that were so important for us as individuals, if it's not important to God, if it's not in the Spirit of God, then they're not important. And we need to lay those things down that sometimes we hold on to so much that brings that division into your home, or that brings that division into those people around you. When we focus our eyes on God and all that He's about, we become one with Him. And that Spirit is what takes us to where now we're building people, we're not destroying. Now, the church does have a responsibility to equip us. But a greater responsibility lies on the shoulders of each of us to teach and to lead by example in our homes and in our communities. One of us can make a difference in someone's life. Let's go on with verse 14, or I'm sorry, yes, 14. Okay. It says, we'll go on with verse 9, I'm sorry. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip these people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness. And this is our goal, again, that we become mature Christians. And when we become that mature Christians, then all those little children playground things won't matter anymore. And so we are going towards the goal of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That should be our whole goal. And when that happens, only then, you know, you can see here that the focus, it says, until we reach unity in the faith. That's a big part of where God wants us to be, is that we would have unity. Then let's go on. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by the ever-supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. As we hear the news each day, it's easy to see the world in a state of confusion and hopelessness. Killing sprees with no motive. Children killing their classmates. Our kids joining gangs and cults just to belong to somewhere and someone. Seems that there's a hopelessness in our world, but yet we're not hopeless. We have Jesus. And we have been given a book full of instruction and promises for any battle that our families would encounter. All we have to do is open this Bible up, and I guarantee you that whatever's going on in your house, whatever's going on around you, whatever it is, that situation is that your child has no idea how to handle and you don't know how to help them, this book's going to give you the answer. And what this says, this is truth. So you can't say, well, let me go find another reference book somewhere and see if they agree with this. This book is the ultimate. There is no other book. The Word tells us that we can't add and we can't take away from this book. So if it's here, you got an answer. And if you don't find the answer, that's only your choice. So if things are going on around you and you're not finding a way to allow God to take care of it, you need to open this book. Now, God's word for this church in 2018 is strength. And I cannot think of any person that demonstrates this more than Jesus. All that he had to endure physically, emotionally, and spiritually, most men would have crumbled under. Yet he remained true and strong to complete his mission. And we can say that he could do this because he was the Son of God. But we also need to recognize that he was a man, the son of Joseph and Mary. He grew into manhood, just like each of us here. So what made Jesus the strong man he was? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Luke 2:41. That's where I start. Okay, and when I looked at this passage in the past, I always used to kind of have, I know whatever's here is good, but I always wondered, you know, this is Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, and we don't get very many glimpses of Jesus as a boy. We see all he did as an adult, but not much as a boy. And so to look at this, you know, sometimes you can see here and say, well, what happened here, Mary and Joseph? You just didn't notice your boy was not around? Or, you know, you start looking at these kind of things. But I thought, you know, this really fits with what I'm wanting to talk about today. So let's read 2:41. It says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And then Jesus answers, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So, three things that I see here that I never looked at before. You know, you look at that they traveled in caravans, and you know, this is kind of like a friend and family affair, you know, where people stay together for protection, whatever it may be. And so yet, you think about it, Jesus is 12 years old, not quite a man, not quite a little kid. You know, he's right in that, you know, back in those days, you look at Mary, you know, she was just a young teenager when she had Jesus. So ages back in those days are not like today, you know. Your kid is 18 today or 30, you still want to keep him home, you know, but but so what I look at here is that Mary and Joseph had enough trust in the group they were with that they figured he's with somebody. He's still part of the group. So that shows me that there was a strong family and friend bond with the entire group. They probably felt very comfortable with their kids being here or there. And we see that here and today, you know. You know, my grandkids can go somewhere with different people, you know, as long as we know who they are and everybody's comfortable. You know, so we take care of each other. And I think that's one thing that I look at with this, with part of this here, is that he had a strong bond with the family and friends. And then it says that when he was found, he was in the temple. So he was consistently filling himself with the Word of God. He was consistently being filled with, especially from, these were great teachers. So he was learning, he was seeing how things were done in that particular time. And so he's filling himself with God's Word. He has friends and family that love him and care for him. And as it says there, his mom and dad eventually went back to look for him. So it wasn't like they just kicked back and said, okay, somebody will get him here. They got concerned. They loved him. They scolded him. That's okay. You know, what are you doing? And then the last thing that I see here is that he knows his call. He knows who he was in God's eyes. Because it says, did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? He wasn't saying, well, look at me, I'm just learning about God. He already recognized him as his Father. And as he progressed, he was from the beginning being prepared for the perfect timing of his mission. And so the next time that we see Jesus, and let's look there at Luke 3:21. The next time we see him is at his baptism. And let's read 3:21 and 22. And it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him boldly, in a boldly form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Now, this baptism would mark the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But the strong man that we see for the next 3 years didn't begin at his baptism. It began from his childhood. God found pleasure in who he was even before the miracles. So it tells us here that we don't have to perform to earn God's love. We just seek his heart and fill yourself with his Spirit. God's voice says, with you I am well pleased. So that man that was 30 years old by that time, already he was in that beautiful place that he could meet with God, talk to God, who was his Abba Father, his daddy. And when you think about this, it's like we think that we've got to do so much just to get God's attention. And all we got to do is seek his heart, love him, and he's pleased with us. He loves us. And so Jesus prepared for a time. This baptism was the perfect timing for what was to come. But it wasn't like he just hung around as a teenager and, you know, did the things that teenagers do. All this time, he had a family unit that was encouraging him, loving him, friends that took care of him. They didn't let him get lost. They took care of him. People that were speaking into his life, teaching him the word, the truth. And so by the time that his ministry starts, he's ready. Now, will it be easy? Not at all. But can he handle it? With the Father's help? Yes, he can. And you see, as we read the scriptures, that, like I said earlier, during communion, his mission was complete. He said, it is finished. And yet there's times that you see what he goes through, even immediately after the baptism. Right away, you would think, hey, he got baptized, you know, and let's go have a party. No, he gets taken to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And so still building, preparing, because if you really think of it, that was the easy part. When he faced that cross and he knew he had to face it, and he's in the garden and he thinks about that separation from his daddy and the things that must have gone on in his heart and in his mind, not only thinking about the physical trauma that he would go through, but thinking the worst part was that he would be separated because of sin from his father. Yet, he was ready. God prepared him. I'm going to read a scripture which we are very familiar with, and that's in Ephesians 6:10. And here in Ephesians 6:10, we are instructed in the armor of God. But before I read it, I want to call attention to the, if I can get my hands here. I'm going to have to get me thicker pages or something. Okay. I want to call attention to the scriptures that are prior to what comes out for the armor of God. And as I look at my Bible, the heading on that particular area says instruction for Christian households. And so, and this is right before it's telling you to put on the armor of God. So what goes on through, and we don't need to read, I'm not going to read all of them, but it deals with the way that wives should see their husbands, who their husbands are to be to the wives. And then it goes on to tell us about husbands, how husbands should love their wives. And it says how husbands should love their wives like Christ left the church. Well, as I said, that cross sure tells you how much God loved the church, how Christ loved the church. And then it goes with other areas. It calls them masters treat your slaves. Well, we've changed the name a little bit, but it's still bosses and employees. You know, it's telling you to do all things as unto God when you work for people. And then it tells us, children, how to treat your parents. And I'll just read that right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. And so, this is, like I said, this is the only one that has a promise to have long life. And when I thought about this, it's talking to moms and dads here, but to think about God, our Heavenly Father, is a father, is a parent. So wouldn't that be nice if we look at it for ourselves, that if we honor Him, that we will have long life? He promises that we would have long life. That's our parent, right? That's our father. And so to look at this is to me, kind of opened my eyes a little bit. Yeah, that's, you start adding. And then the next verse says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Sometimes we as fathers may go beyond what our role entitles us to. And this is what's telling us here. As dads, we are to take care of our kids and to remember that respect is earned with love and understanding and not anger and intimidation. So we as dads have that place, that power to be able to go in whatever direction and either help our kids or hinder our children. So now I'm going to read Ephesians 6:10. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is an enemy out there that wants to destroy you. There is an enemy out there that knows which buttons to push in each one of you. What might affect one person is of no consequence to another. Big deal. But this enemy is or can be in your homes. It can be in your workplace. And it is out to destroy the family unit, whether it be a church body. You would think, well, he can't come in our churches. He can if we allow him. Those doors are not there to welcome him, but it is possible if we don't remain, as it says, stand firm against the enemy. So look at what goes on in your home. Look at what goes on around you and know that, yes, we have a God that fights our battles, but we have an enemy that's not going to just sit back and watch God just reign over our lives. He is more powerful than any enemy could ever be. But, like I say, the enemy doesn't stop. So let's go here. The next verses are 13 through 18. And here it tells us what to do. So not only is it alerting us to what's out there for us, but it's giving us, it's instructing us as to how we can protect ourselves. So it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which allows you to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Anyway, we can stop there. He's given us the tools that we need so that the enemy cannot have any part of our lives. He not only tells us what to look for, but he tells us how to protect ourselves. So the next thing I want to go to is Galatians 5. And this is 22 through 26, and I'm sure most of you are very familiar with what's here. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." This is the atmosphere that I want in my home. This is the atmosphere that I want in my job place, my church. So we can welcome the Spirit of God, or we can welcome chaos. Do you find your surroundings full of chaos? There's an answer. It's our choice. What fruit is coming forth from you? In Him, we have the power to change our atmosphere. And finally, our last verse, and this is in John 15. This, I'm going to read 1 through 8. And this is Jesus. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away, and it withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Amen. I want to be the source of good fruit. I want my children and grandchildren and all those God has placed on my journey to be bearers of abundant good fruit. We each need to receive nourishment from the true vine. May we attain our ultimate goal, the fullness of Christ, as we come together and become one with Him. I think He's just waiting for us to grow up. That is my message for today. And my prayer is that somehow we're able to find Him, and somehow that all our differences would be put aside, that we could come together not only as a church, not only as a family. I pray that someday even it would be possible that our whole world would come to that place. And you, as one person, can make that difference. Now, what I'd like to do today, or at this moment, is that God gave me a couple of words this morning to that I felt needed to be spoken to you. And so, as I read these things, if you feel that this is something that God is speaking to you and you receive it, I urge you to take care of it, because God is saying, God is wanting to restore this day. And so there'll be prayer team up here if you ask somebody to pray with you, or if you just go home and you pray about it. But one of the words that I felt God was saying to someone or someones, I felt there was more than one, is that you're dealing with forgiveness. And that someone has hurt you to a point that you know in your heart that you've got to let go. You know in your heart that this has to happen, but you can't find that place of freedom to do so. And my prayer for you today is that you would ask God to make you willing to be willing. Sometimes, even though we know what to do, it's hard for us to get there. And so God's speaking to us today about forgiveness. So if there is someone here today that has been estranged from a family member, a friend, I really felt there was like a child, a son or a daughter, but there could be someone else. And the other word that I felt God was saying that he wanted someone to deal with is a harsh attitude. Someone that has fits of anger. And then sometimes because of that, it brings chaos into your midst. So those are two things that I felt I had to speak out today. So if you're that someone, or if there's anything else today that you would like prayer for, at this moment, I just want to bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you and your family. And may he be gracious to each one of you. And at this time, I release all of you, and go have fun with your family. Use this day, whether you like Super Bowl or not, use this day to just make relationships and connections with those that are that you really, really do love. So enjoy your family this day, and thank you, and God bless you.